Welcome to Flawless Conversations. I'm Tamika Jones, and today we're diving into how mindset can shift your life, your confidence, your purpose. You're watching Now Media Television.
Hello, and welcome to Flawless Conversations, where we uncover the stories, strategies, and experiences that shape the way we lead, connect, and grow. I'm your host, Tamika Jones, and I'm so glad you're here with us today. This show is all about giving you real tools and inspiration for your very own journey, because conversations have the power to change how we live and how we lead. Today, I'm honored to welcome Eric Anderson, who is a nationally and internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and consultant who has inspired audiences worldwide for over 25 years. A former athlete and educator, he founded ER Anderson and Associates in 1996 and has presented at major conferences like NAESP, AASA, and NASSP. He is named one of the top 50 speakers in the world by International Speakers Association. Eric continued to coach, train, and inspire leaders and teams globally. Eric, welcome to the show. We're so glad.
And well, so thank excited. You for having me. It is great to be here, and I appreciate the invite, and I'm looking forward to our conversation and see what we can do to help people.
Yes, we're so excited to dive into these flawless conversations with you today, Eric.
Thank you.
So, Eric, many leaders today struggle with giving direction, yet not receiving the full respect that they desire and deserve. So instead of inspiring their teams, it can feel like they're simply just overseeing tasks. Eric, what is one habit or mindset shift that helped leaders move from just managing tasks to earning the trust and the admiration within the organization?
Well, I appreciate the question, and there's a lot into that, but some of the things that I think are important to know, there's a mind shift out there that's happening or possibly needing to happen from the old school stuff of the traditional kind of the command control type of leadership that does not work anymore. It may have worked in the past, but it doesn't. And so if I'm focused on all the rules and all of the outcomes and a bunch of numbers and graphs and pieces of paper, I'm missing it. If I ask the question, what should come first, rules or relationships? Mm-hmm. People are going to say relationship. But if I ask the employees what feels like comes first, they say rules. So they feel like it's a command control thing and they don't have a voice. And that mindset of truly putting that relationship first, even to the little details of a lady that I've been working with, that when she communicates, her facial expressions push people away. And I'm like, you got to fix your face. Little things like that, and the eye contact, or I mean, when she talks, she would go like this to people and come like that. She's got a great heart, great person. I don't question her motivations or her intent. It's the action part, the behavior, but working on it internally and having that and not assuming that I already have the trust.
That's good.
I can't assume that. I can, but it's not going to work.
Yes. Because trust isn't given, it's earned, right?
It's earned. So, and I have a definition of leadership as a person who can put their personal agenda aside, their biases, and take on a greater agenda of service. And being able to know what that looks like to create a safe place, a mentally safe place for people, and becoming a safe person for them to talk to and be around, which takes a lot of work. So leadership to me is internal.
I agree.
Internal.
Yes.
Working on the internal. Leadership, just as you said, leadership is trust that is earned. Leaders must earn the trust of those they lead. And then the vision. What's the outcome you want?
Absolutely.
What is the outcome of people want to remember you just by a bunch that you always enforced rules? I'm the rule enforcer. And that's your legacy or relationship? And they cared. Bottom line, do they care?
So, Eric, how can someone who feels controlling or micromanaging begin behaving in a way, right, that people want to follow them, willingly want to follow them?
Knowing that leadership is not about position or opportunity. It's not about a title. It's not about a bunch of letters behind your name. That doesn't necessarily make the leader. Knowing your principles and values. Just like this lady I was talking to, I said, how do you know the rightness? How do you measure the rightness of your vision? I don't know. I said, by your principles and values. If you know your principles and values and you stand on them and grow the skills to support that, that's what it's about. It's about the growing internally and even asking. In some of the seminars that we do, there's actually four questions to help create a psychologically safe place and have what's called a full value contract. And the first question is, how do you want me to treat you as the leader? And it sounds like a simple question and a simple answer, but it is a simple answer, but it's complex. Just like this young lady, very nice young lady. And she said, I want to be treated with respect and dignity and honored and listened to and safe mentally. And in light of what's going on in the world today, we're missing this. We're missing this. And putting other people's success ahead of my own. If I help the team be successful, what happens to my success as a leader, as the owner? If I grow my team, which I grow myself, but then grow the team and grow that trust through just simple things like, how do you want to be treated? Well, respect, define it. How do you know? I was respectful. How do you know? Did you ask them? Or are you assuming that you showed respect? I don't know unless I ask them. And everybody defines it different.
Yes.
So life experience, culture, faith, heritage, all beliefs, all that. So everybody can have a little bit of different definition of what that looks like for them. Mm-hmm. Understanding your customer.
Absolutely. I agree. And you know what, Eric, I'm reading the Tao of Leadership book by John Hyder. And
yes.
He reminds us that true leadership, same what you're saying, true leadership isn't about impressing or controlling others, right? It's yep. about being honest and consistent, right? When your yes. values on the inside match the outside, right? That's when others will be willingly to lead.
And that's what they'll see. They will see the behaviors that line up with that. And if it doesn't line up, to be trustworthy, you have to be credible.
Yes.
If you're not credible, I'm not going to trust it. And they're not going to trust me. And they shouldn't. We're seeing lots of things of indictments right now. A lot in our leaderships, from presidential election type stuff to governors to police officers to all of it, teachers, whatever, right? Yeah. A lot. Integrity is what's missing. And that relationship and being focused on the relationship, not the rules.
Absolutely.
If there are rules, and that's fine, I'm not against the rules. I want to know what the heart is behind the rule. Is it out to get me or help push the relationship closer together? Mm-hmm. Rules should push the relationship closer together in trust.
Absolutely.
And when asked the question, how do you want me to treat you? And I'm doing that with a group of 20 people or 30 or 60 or large organizations with 60,000 employees. You look at that and you start developing trust. You're negotiating a relationship. How are we going to treat each other? How should we treat each other? Are we doing it? No. So what's going to happen if we don't? Mm-hmm. And we're focused to me, we've spent billions of dollars on graphs. We've spent billions of dollars on technology. And that has not produced high productivity.
I totally agree with you, Eric. I totally agree.
And I'm not against the technology, but people are way more important than processes.
Gotcha. Yes. So coming up, yep. Hold that thought, Eric. Coming up, we'll explore one of the most important cornerstones of leadership, which is building trust. We've already delved in it a little bit, but Eric's going to diving in a little more, right? So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of Eric.
Thank you.
We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible. Confidence is yours and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to Flawless Conversation. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Flawless Conversations or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app or on Roku or iOS. And enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business to breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is available 24/7, ready whenever you are. Eric Anderson joins us again, this time diving into one of the most critical parts of leadership, which is trust. Many leaders struggle when their suggestions, ideas, or process improvement initiatives are met with silence or resistance. Trust gaps can weaken teams and stifle progress, but they can be repaired. Eric, the challenge is when people around you don't fully trust you, making it hard for your voice to carry weight or inspired action. From your years of coaching leaders, what are the most common trust gaps you see within teams?
Most common trust gap. I would go along with they're still with their traditional style. Do it and don't talk back. Okay, here's another leader that I can't trust. All they're going to do is just tell me what to do, and they don't care what I think or feel or no input. There's something called the illusion of control. Mm-hmm. You think you have control, but you don't. It's an illusion. And when people are shutting down and not participating, and the morale of the group, if you're not looking, or the person, if you're really not paying attention to that, you got to be self-aware of that. You got to be able to read your people and get to know them. If I don't understand you, how can I lead you? If I don't understand my people, how can I lead them? And it's a simple thing. I'll just make this like a fifth grade, sixth grade little example. I go buy a car. And I walk up to the car salesperson and I go, I want a white car, two-door with leather seats. And the car salesperson says, let me show you this red truck. you led me in the wrong direction. I wanted a white two-door car convertible, and you're showing me you don't understand. How can you lead?
I agree. So how can a leader begin to repair this trust when it has been broken, even in a small way?
They earn it by being diligent.
Yes.
Tending to the small as well as the big things in a conscientious way, not subconscious. It is a conscious effort. It is intentional on purpose. I have CEOs that actually go around in large companies that pick a floor, and they go around to the employees of the floor, shake everybody's hand. How are you? What do you need from me today to help you be successful? And these are 30,000 people employee companies, and their executive team goes around and does that every day. Some of the organizations even have a little box on everybody's desk. And at the end and throughout the week, the employees write down any issues or problems or whatever they had, and they put it in that box. And around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, the executives gather up all the boxes and they dump all the little notes, whether they're rough draft or they don't have to be pretty. And they go through, and by Monday, they have an answer for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Trust.
Yes.
And they might not work the answer that they provided, but at least they're working towards those solutions, and that builds trust. But even standing at the door every day, shaking hands with your people, or fist bumps if they don't want handshakes and stuff, welcome, glad you're here, you know, whatever, you know, make sure we're protecting personal spaces and stuff like that. But some type of glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you being here.
That is so awesome. And I have a military sister friend who does that too. She's a supervisor or a chief in her section where she works. And she, whenever there's a new employee, she has a sheet. She want to know their birthday, their kid's birthday. She's intentional, right, with building that relationship with that new employee, right? Because that's developing that trust that you're talking about.
And if it's lost, and I'm going to go kind of back a long time in history when I developed this, it was at a high school that is a gang high school. And these are kids that were rules, command, control, sit down, shut up, or you're fired. I kick your butt out of my class. So they don't trust an adult. They trust they're going to get hammered again. So walking them through these processes, all 400 students I had that year did not drop out. They got out of their gangs and they went to post-secondary something after high school, college, military, electrician, plumber, et cetera. But I focused on building that relationship. I stood at the door every day, shook their hand, fist bumps, whatever. Some kids would not shake my hand the first couple of weeks because they don't trust. But it's that consistent, intentional being there. And my face and my tone, if they didn't shake my hand, I don't get offended. I don't get defensive. I receive it. And I have to be brutally honest about the reality to get to the goal and the vision. Inside out leadership. You have to have the right motivation to lead. If you don't have the right motivation, I want to be a leader because it's so cool. Wrong motivation. Right motivation is to serve others. It's not about being cool and looking, getting in front of groups and talking to everybody because I want to be honored or, you know, it's not that.
Right. The accolades, the kudos. But yeah.
Yes. It's about serving others. It's about taking care of the people and caring about each other. No matter what our cultures and heritages and backgrounds are, we care about each other as people.
I agree. So Eric, what are some tools you use to help leaders stay grounded in trustworthiness, even when trust seems scarce?
Identify your principles.
Mm.
Identify your values. Know exactly what they are. and you stand on them. Can't be easy sometimes, because sometimes people are going to try to influence or say things, do things, all that kind of stuff behind your back thing. But if you know your principles and you know your values, just like I said before, how do you measure the rightness of your vision? You measure against your principles and your values. At the end of the day, that integrity, looking in the mirror, going, I stood on my values and principles. And I have a list of suggested principles and values that I just have, like, for the trainings and stuff. I'm not asking anybody to adopt mine. Those are just kind of starter points. Like, reap what you sow. That's a principle. If I have a principle that I care about the homeless, then my vision is going to line up with that principle and start doing the things that line up with that vision. I care about the special needs kids in high schools that are being dismissed, overlooked. What can we do to help them? Where are organizations coming in and helping the schools with these special needs kids that in high school are still first grade mentally because of their handicap or their disability or whatever, respectfully, we want to call that? Reaching out to that.
Yes. So, Eric, for those who want to learn more from you, where can they find your resources, workshops, or connect with you online?
Like the website? Yes. It's www.erandersonandassociates.com. Telephone 210-254-2869.
You have social media as well, or?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn? Okay. And is that Anderson at LinkedIn?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So up next, we'll talk about the powerful role of emotional intelligence that it plays in leadership and why IQ alone won't carry you. So go grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, but make sure you come right back. So stay tuned with more of Eric.
We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible. Confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to Flawless Conversation. We've been talking about the essentials of leadership and how tackling one area that often gets overlooked, emotional intelligence. Many leaders lean on logic and IQ, but without emotional intelligence, relationships suffer and progress stalls. The problem is that many underestimate the value of emotional awareness, believing that intellect alone is enough to succeed. Eric, what are some common missed signals when leaders lean too much on logic and ignore emotions?
Again, it kind of goes kind of in the previous questions. It goes back to, what's the purpose? What is the overall goal and the overall purpose and the return on investment? If I invest into my people and get to know them and understand them and vice versa, of course, they're going to learn. If people are self-motivated, their IQ will go up. Self-motivation is emotional intelligence. They'll learn Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. They'll learn QuickBooks. They'll learn those topics, QA and all those type of things, quality assurance and user experience. One of the key ones, and I think it goes individually and corporately, self-awareness.
Yes.
Self-awareness as an individual and as a group and as a company. Are we self-aware of how we're coming across? See, IQ, and I don't know how many people would know this. Why did IQ, or when did IQ become so popular? It was after World War I. World War II was ramping up. The United States government was looking for some way to filter through a lot of people to get them into the military and find a way to do the testing that they would not be counterproductive. So they chose the IQ. And it showed if a person scored 85 or less on an IQ, they were unfit for any job in the military.
Wow.
That's 1 in 10 people. That's not good. And that's even somebody pick up a box, walk to a truck, and put it on the truck. If I know somebody has 120 IQ, I have no earthly idea what their performance is going to be. Emotional intelligence is a true predictor of people's behaviors, psychological tendencies that come out in performance. There's actually an instrument that I use that's 75 years old, developed by Dr. Harrison Goff, University of Stanford, that measures emotional intelligence. It's a C-level psychological instrument. It's had 60,000 dissertations done on it. We can set a norm for a group on emotional intelligence and put growth plans to emotional intelligence. So not only am I going to have IQ and learn that kind of learning, but I'm going to put in my processes and into my organization and systems of growing people in emotional intelligence to become a learning organization also. The whole team is a learning organization. If the whole team learns, that's great. But if only one person learns on the team, that one person's only going to go so far. Their team's going to hold it back. So if I know somebody's coachable or not, I know how that's going to impact on the team, and that will show in this profile. AB personality test, outgoing introvert, AB level, that's quadrant. That's an A-level personality. B level, MMPI, DSM, Gallup. Those are B-level personality tests. This is a C-level psychological profile. It's not a test. It measures psychological tendencies that come out in the behaviors that impact the team. So let's say one person's dominant on the team and tries to take control of it. What's that going to do for the trust and the morale of the whole team? So being able to identify that and put that on a growth plan. That's the power of emotional intelligence. It is extremely powerful to help grow people, grow an organization, create a safe place so people can thrive. That's the I'm sorry.
So whenever you're going into an organization, is that the test that or the assessment that's done with each member, not just with leadership, but is it with each?
Everyone.
Okay.
And they use it because it follows EEOC guidelines. So it helps identify the job a person ought to be and put them in a fit. It helps them fit the position. We have super high turnover rate. We're spending billions of dollars in turnover rate. And one of it is because we're not fitting the person with their gift. It's not a fit for the company or the person. But if I can identify the fit, then the person thrives and the company thrives. In the family, if I'm not coachable as a dad, what's that going to cause in my family? I'm the best dad ever. You can't teach me nothing. You're not coachable. You're going to hold your whole organization back.
Yeah.
So there's a theory called the theory of constraints. It's a book years ago, Eli Goldratt. I put it into behaviors and develop 5 laws. And one of the laws is no organization can rise above the constraint of its leader in emotional intelligence. If I'm not willing to grow and learn as a leader, my company is gonna stop. So is my family. If I'm not coachable and the hard feedback like that lady, you gotta change your face. And it's gonna take some work, but that's okay. Self-awareness. Being aware, my body language, which is 55% of communication, 55% of communication is body language and facial expression. 38% is the tone of voice. That's 7 for the words. So what should I work on the most? The how. The face, the tone, the eyes, the questions. How are you asking them? Are you going, you get to work? Or do we need to get to work today, guys? We got a job to do, don't we?
The tone.
The tone, how you're coming across. And how do you find out? By asking the people. How do you become self-aware? You ask your people. I ask my kids, did I come across as listening or not? Well, Dad, you got a little defensive. Thank you for telling me that. I'm going to work on that. I don't know that sometimes. If I shoot a basketball like this, the coach is going to tell me, put my elbow down. Well, I might not see I'm shooting a basketball like this. It takes a coach to go put the hand up, right? That's the same thing with face and tone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Eric, what are daily or weekly checks that you use or you use with your team to gauge emotional health?
That's exactly what I mentioned. I have a list on listening, coachability, approach, true open door, seeking to understand, not listen to respond, but listen to understand.
That's good.
I think I have it right here. If not, I'll move on.
That's good.
Here it is. Before you speak, have I truly earned the right to speak into someone's life? Ask yourself, have I truly been doing the things necessary in the relationship to even come close to speaking into their life? Ask, have I truly earned the right and the trust? If you have not done these things, you have not earned the right to even come close to trying to speak into someone's life. You want respect? You have to win their heart. Or you're not going to get the respect if you don't win their heart. You want respect? Win their heart. You want commitment or you want compliance?
And that goes with any relationship, not just
any
leadership work, you know.
Yes. Home. If I'm working with a married couple, do you want, ma'am, sir, whichever, do you want commitment or compliance? Commitment to what? The rules or the relationship? You want commitment to the policies or to the relationship? Well, how do you get it? How do you want to be treated? How should we treat each other? How do you think I want to be treated as the leader? How do we treat each other during conflict? Because in relationships, we're going to have conflict. Those four questions usually take about 4 hours in the training I do to answer. How do you want to be treated? How are we going to treat each other? How do you think I, as the leader, want to be treated? How do we treat each other during conflict? How should we be treating each other? Screaming, yelling, and hollering at each other, shooting each other? That's not solving anything.
Nope.
It's making the relationships further apart and more divisive.
Yes. Eric, every time we talk, Eric, oh my goodness, you always bless me. Every time you talk, you always drop these little nuggets, you know? And we've been talking for a while now, and yes. I really enjoy your leadership conversations.
I do too, and I just love people. I care about people, and I believe in their potential. I believe that the leader has to believe in the potential of people, yes. Not processes, not a piece of graph paper. Those are important. Hey, we're at 70% in sales, and it's the 20th of the month. Okay, that's important. But how are you going to get your people to get the other 30%? Command control? Get your butt out there and get to work. No. Listen. Win their heart to win respect.
Yes, I agree. So coming up, we'll explore how to lead with deeper purpose, not just metrics. And Eric, you touched on this earlier. So leadership becomes more meaningful and lasting. We'll be right back with more of Flawless Conversations.
Thank you. We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible, confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to Flawless Conversations. Loving what you're watching? Don't miss the moment of Flawless Conversations or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows live on demand anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or Apple iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Espanol. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business to breaking news to lifestyle and culture and everything in between, Now Media TV is available 24/7, ready whenever you are. As we close out today's conversation, we want to shift the big picture to purpose. Eric, you spent years helping leaders not just achieve results, but connect to meaning. When leaders don't only, when they chase metrics, right, and success, they can feel a little hollow, even if the goals aren't met. So, Eric, many leaders focus only on output, right? Output, success, like you talked about before, the metrics, leaving their work and their leadership feeling transactional rather than transformational. How do you help leaders connect to daily actions to a deeper purpose beyond profit or output?
Thank you for asking that. One of the things, it's kind of the tradition, maybe it's kind of an assumption on my part, but the traditional kind of methodology and taught in colleges and so forth is numbers. Focus on the numbers. Focus on the metrics, focus on the data, be a data-driven decision person, not a principle-driven person. If you're principle-driven, and one of my principles is I care about people, that's where the focus is. I wonder what the return on investment is on in trust. What's your ROI on trust and KPIs? What's the KPIs for building trust? What's those key performance indicators, not just numbers? And if you focus on the trust KPIs, the numbers show up. Your focus is in the wrong spot. Yes, we want performance. So do schools. You know, schools and businesses want the same thing, performance. There's no difference. They'll say, well, we're a business, that's schools. No, they're the same. They're the same. They want performance. And they focus on a standardized test, performance. They're not focused on relationship. Schools are in the relationship business, so are businesses. It kind of cracks me up. You have the bosses and the managers tell the employees to be nice and respectful and all that to their customers, but the bosses are not nice to the internal employees. Their internal customer. Like, you need to be welcoming to our customers. I flat agree. Mr. and Mrs. Manager, leader, what about you? Are you being that way? Are you modeling that same thing with the internal employees? Right. You expect the person that's face-to-face with the customer to do it, but you're not going to do it with your employees?
You know, Eric, right. And I always wonder, you know, you see, you drive through Chick-fil-A, right? And then you drive through McDonald's.
Yes. Way different. Way different. Do you start your Zoom meetings or executive C-suite meeting in a boardroom, whatever, conference room, whatever? Tell me something good that I'm standing at the door. I'm shaking everybody's hand. Tell me something good that's happened since the last time we met. It could be, hey, my family and I, we had a cookout over the weekend. Oh, that's great. Good. That's awesome. I'm glad you had a good time, some family time. How about you? Sir, you know, I don't make it about numbers, but we're at 80% sales last week for the month, and we're almost at the end. Now we're at 110 this week. We're 110%. We exceeded the goal. Well, that's great for the company and a pay raise possibly for one of the employees, huh? Yes. Awesome. Good things. Good things. What do you need from me today? I'm going to explore their needs. My employees, just like the customer, what do you need from me today to help you be successful? Well, I need blah, blah, blah. Okay. And I'm going to empower them with that. I have to be brutally honest with myself about this and take the biases and politics out of it. We don't have time for that. We got to get that out. And I'm not talking politics as far as government type politics. I'm talking, we don't have time. We got to be honest. We got to get down to earth, keep our feet on the ground. If I reach for the moon, but I don't keep my feet on the ground, it's nothing. I got to keep my feet grounded and real on my principles, values, what I stand for, what I'm about. I care about people, and I'm going to stand on that.
Yes.
And if I lose that, then we're done.
We're done. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Good stuff. So what practices, Eric, help leaders that you use help leaders stay anchored in purpose when pressure pushes toward the bottom line?
Depends on the person. Everybody's different. And so even kind of what we've talked about today, I've made some statements that I want to ask some people some things. Like, I've said this, but let's talk about it, because everybody's different. Right. Some people keep a journal. Some people keep little things on their desk, little reminder, like a little post-note or card, index card, with just maybe four or five little bullet points, core value principle stuff. You got to keep it in front of you. Reap what you sow, like on your computer or whatever. Just those type of things. Surround yourself with two or three people. That will be the brutal feedback in a good, constructive way that you know it's for your it's out for your good, not out to get you, right? Have two, three people. I think in a lifetime, there are people that go a lifetime without having anybody that can truly speak into their life. I find that sad. A lot of people only have four or five people in a lifetime that can speak into your life, and vice versa, to help stay that way. Somebody you can vent to, talk to confidentially, all those times. And it's not personal attacks or nothing like that. It's just getting it out. Getting all the distractions, all the stress, and all the emotions out so we can focus back on what we're about. Because there's a lot of distractions out there, a lot, and more, I think, every day.
Right. So what I heard you say is the daily practices that you have, affirmations is what you use. That's what I call affirmations. I'm the affirmation queen, by the way. You don't know.
Ah, gotcha.
Like affirmation, affirming who you are and walking in that affirmation every day. Community is what you mentioned too. And also a mentor, a good mentor.
Yes, identity. Mentioned. And keep that identity. If you lose your identity, then you've lost it.
Gotcha. So Eric, every show with my guests, I will ask the guests to give the audience a flawless nugget and a flawless fact. So a flawless nugget is any type of inspiration or any type of quotes or memes or whatever that you may have that they can use anytime, anywhere. It doesn't have to be something long, but something that they can use with wisdom or inspiration or motivation. So give us a flawless nugget.
A flawless nugget. Lots of things are going through my mind, but I'm going to go with... a newborn baby is extremely valuable, right? No price tag. The baby did nothing to earn it. Nothing. You're valuable no matter if your performance is high or low. You're still a valuable human being. It's not based on performance. The baby has zero performance. Can't mow the lawn, can't do the dishes, but they're valuable. You're a valuable person, not based on your performance. It's based on being human.
You're breathing and you have purpose. You have life.
Exactly. That newborn baby is extremely valuable. So is every individual person on the face of the planet. Now, some of them might not need to be in society, but they're still a valuable person internally as a human and should be treated how? And that's how you should treat yourself, as a valuable, as a newborn baby with life experience the baby doesn't have.
Oh, love it, love it, love it, Eric. And a flawless fact, something about Eric that we all should know or will want to know about Eric. It could be something fun, funny, inspirational, just something about Eric.
I have a weird sense of humor. I have a funny sense of humor. It's just there. But it's nothing to be offensive or nothing. It's just a sense of humor to have some fun and laugh and play around. I like to play golf and, you know, type stuff. So.
And that's what makes you, Eric, your sense of humor, your awkward, weird, or whatever you want to call it, sense of humor. you, right?
Yeah. Yep. It's how the person is designed.
Yeah.
And you were knitted in your mother's womb of your innermost being. That's who you are. Innermost being was knitted in your mama's womb. That's your boundary. That's your boundary. And the ultimate vision is one of yourself being the very best person you can be. That is the ultimate vision. But integrity is something you earn every day. That's the ultimate vision. It's not making $1 million. It's not being the best person. You want to be best for the world or best in the world? Best for the world or best in the world? That's the vision. And that's what I'm about.
Love it. I love it. Eric, your leadership insight has been incredibly valuable. Where can people follow your work and continue the conversations with you?
Say that, where?
Where can they find you and continue conversations like this with you?
www.erandersonandassociates.com. That's also eric@erandersonandassociates.com is email, and phone 210-254-2869. I have enjoyed this. This is great. And I want to thank you for everything you all are doing. And I wish everybody and yourself great success.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us today. Your words remind us that leadership is more than authority. It's about trust, emotional intelligence, and a sense of purpose that outlives today's results. For everyone's watching, I hope you're leaving this conversation with a renowned sense of what it means to lead. Whether that's in the workplace, in your community, or even your family. Remember, leadership isn't about managing people. It's about inspiring them to grow, connect, and believe in something bigger. One of my very own favorite quotes is, "We were all created on purpose for a greater purpose." Thank you for spending this time with us here on Flawless Conversations. I'm your host, Tamika Jones. Until next time, keep leaning into meaningful conversations and moving forward. Thank you and stay flawless.